I feel like we've had church this morning already. A little bit like a commercial. But wait, there's more. It keeps coming. It's good. It's good. Hey, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll be in verses 1 through 3 today. As you turn there, let me just say that we pick back up today in our study through the book of Hebrews. In chapters 1 through 10, we waded through some of the most theologically challenging scriptures found throughout the whole Bible. Billy Jean, do we have the recording going today? Now, we begin chapters 11 through 13, the ending three chapters here, which will not only continue to challenge us, but provide ample application for our walk with Christ. Chapter 11 is called the Great Hall of Faith. It contains names of champions of God who throughout history made their marks on the kingdom of God and left examples of their faith so that we might live by ours. It is faith that fuels the power of God in our lives. It is faith that moves mountains. It is faith that pleases God the Father. It is through faith that giants fall. Waters part and the dead are raised to life. And it is by faith alone that we are born again. The definition of faith in the Cambridge Dictionary defines faith as great trust or confidence in something or someone. Most definitions of faith, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, most definitions of faith refer to it as a noun. It is a thing. Trust is faith put into action. So why does the author of Hebrews bring it up now? Since it's been a few weeks, let's go back and look at the context of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 and 39. So go ahead and flip back to the previous chapter. Beginning in verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. That is the resolve to keep our faith in Christ, to our resolve to set our face towards the cross and not be turned away either by choice or circumstance, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. If you remember his house church, they were formerly Jews that had converted to Christianity, and they had been suffering extreme persecution. They had their possessions taken. They had been beaten. They had been thrown in the jail. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. There is a reward coming. It will be worth it in the end. Beginning and picking back up in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Talking about Jesus coming back. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That is, he's quoting an Old Testament verse where God is speaking to the people. So my soul, talking about God's soul, my soul has no pleasure in he that or her that turns, that draws back, that shrinks back to their old life. Verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. The ones who draw back, we've learned that they're lost. Game over. But for those who believe to the saving of the soul. So the author has just finished exhorting his small house church of Jewish believers to remain strong amidst their sufferings. Don't throw in the towel as it becomes harder to follow Jesus without a cost. All the pain, suffering, and persecution will be worth it in the end when our faithful God returns and takes us home. Hallelujah. So in one sense, our faith is what secures our salvation because the Bible tells us we are saved through faith. Yet in another sense, we now put faith into action. We live by faith, walking towards God to the end of our journey. Our faith is grounded and rooted in our confidence in God to remain faithful. To see to it that we complete our journey on this earth and receive our eternal reward when this life is over. Our faith is predicated upon the conviction, it's a conviction, that God is for us and not against us. Everyone say, God is for me and not against me. As we turn to chapter 11, we will find a whole list of biblical figures that put their faith in God the Father and did not waver when things got tough. They didn't always experience immediate victory, yet they persevered in their faith. These saints saw the fulfillment of God's promises from a distance, then persevered in the immediate context of their lives. Hebrews 11:13 kind of sums this up. We'll get to this probably next week or the week after. But it says, these all died in faith. Notice that it doesn't say they died without faith. It says they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. We were assured of them, embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And God calls us to nothing less. To be overcomers, to persevere, to keep our confidence and our gaze upon the Father, to endure despite hardships and persecutions, to not turn back to the bondage of our old life when things get rough, but to live expectantly that in Christ our new life has ultimate victory based on what God's word has told us and what Christ has done on the cross and in through the grave. We march on despite what our eyes see and the circumstances we are experiencing. Faith is not some feeling that we manufacture. It is our total response, this is important, it is our total response to what God has revealed in His Word. It is our response to what God has said. There's a story, I don't know if many of you are familiar with Andrew Womack. He's an evangelist, he has a show on Daystar. Back in 2001, Andrew and his wife got the phone call that their son was dead. And they were hours away from going to where their son was. Andrew is a believer that stands on the word of God. If God's word says it, then that settles it. He and his wife began praying, God, we have faith that you will raise our son from the dead. Your word says that we will see greater works than even you did. We ask that you would strengthen our faith, but we are not going to believe that our son is going to be dead when we get there. That's some faith, wouldn't you agree? That's some faith. So they drove the 4 hours there, and they went into the morgue. And the people of the morgue, they opened the drawer where their son laid, covered, stripped naked, with a toe tag on him. Dead 4 hours. And they said, in the name of Jesus, I command death to leave, and I command your life to return. And his son sat up, and he's alive today. That is faith. That is faith in God's word. That is faith not in their strength, but is their faith in the character and the nature of God. Amen. Womack and his wife stood firm in their faith. And even when faced with their son's death, their confidence in the Lord was built on years of seeking God diligently. Their word, his word, became their anchor. This kind of faith does not just happen overnight. I'm not going to say I don't have that kind of faith, but I got to say, I might not have that kind of faith yet. That's what I'm working towards. This kind of faith does not happen overnight, but our faith can grow. It is developed through consistent prayer and trust in God's promise, living out our faith. So the arching reason, the word always trips me up. I don't know if it's reason for talking about faith in this chapter has to do with reaffirming the principle that if God said it, that settles it. God said it, therefore it is true and it will be true. Let me ask you this morning, do we believe that? Do we believe that every word of the Bible is true? Every promise, do we believe that every promise is true? Do we believe that every revelation is true? Every consequence of sin, do we believe that's true? That's one, Every blessing for obedience is true. Every promise of Jesus Christ soon return and the rewards that await us, do you believe it's true? These questions are implied at the forefront of the discussion in chapter 11. So now as we look at verse 1 in chapter 11, the Bible first gives us a description of how faith works. So look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's talk about hope for just this minute. Hope, as the world typically defines it, it is a desire for some future occurrence of which one is not assured of attaining. It's more like a wish. But for the Christian, our hope is grounded in and on God's word and his character. Get to know his word, get to know his character, and you will see your faith and your hope grow. Our faith is the substance, or in other words, it is the foundation of our hope. Let me give a quick illustration of what I mean. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 22, that Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. Meaning, he is the foundation of the church. Thus, the church will never go away. Furthermore, the gates of hell will never prevail against us. Though the enemy seeks to destroy the church, when he does, it only gets stronger because its foundation is Christ. Foundations are important. Who would agree with me this morning that foundations are important? Do we have any builders or contractors out there? You better have a good foundation or you're going to have a doghouse like I built one day that looked like this instead of like this. I built a Dr. Seuss doghouse for my son when he was like 3. I think it made him cry. The foundation was all messed up. The foundation had a warp in it. For the Christian, our hope is grounded in and on God's word and his character. Our faith is the substance, the foundation. So foundations are important. Faith in God's character is foundational. We've got to believe that his character is good. Faith in his word, faith in his power, is the foundation upon which our hope rests. Are you hoping this morning that in a particular future situation that there is a good outcome for you? healing maybe. What does God say regarding situations of unknown outcomes for the believer? Well, in Romans 8:28, this is what it says. And we know that all things, everyone say all things work together for good to those who love God. You love God this morning? Amen. To those who are called according to the purpose. Are we the called? According to God's purpose. Faith is believing with certainty that God's in control and that He has our best interest in mind every time. That He has plans to prosper us. That He loves us. And because these things are true, we can begin to thank Him before we even see the answer with our eyes. Like the heroes of faith, we project our faith into the future. You know, faith is a projection into the future, and so is fear. Fear projects into the future, so does faith. No matter the outcome, God has determined and will bring about what is best for us. So even though circumstances appear bleak, despite what we see with our eyes, we must be convinced that God the Father loves us. We're going to talk a lot about that in the coming months and over the next couple years. So the evidence of things not seen is the absolute belief, a belief so real that the invisible becomes visible. Can you see it in your mind and in your imaginations? Imaginations are important. Well, hey, Pastor, that sounds a little New Agey to me. Let me explain it this way. As I just mentioned, fear and worry project into the future. Often like a movie playing out the worst possible scenario on the screens of our imaginations. We begin to see it in our mind, and subsequently our fear grows. You know, we need to be careful. The very thing that Job feared came upon him. Why not instead project our faith into the future instead of our fear? Imagining the best possible outcome because God the Father loves us. If we believe God, then we can do this without feeling like we're treading into New Age mumbo jumbo, I like gumbo. Faith in our imaginations. Begin to see God working out what we're believing Him for, what His Word has said. It's not New Age, it's faith, it's trust in God's Word and in His character. Let's keep moving. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. This is talking about the heroes of the Old Testament. Those that lived out their faith by trusting God. You know, a good testimony means that they have set the example for us. We have some of those faith giants in this very church. I think of Larry and Bonnie Joe, Diane and Buck, Shirley Lamb, and the various ones that continue to come in and show up, utilizing the time that they have been given for the kingdom of God. Believing by faith that their reward is just on the other side of their last breath, so they're going to keep going until there is no more breath in them. That is the faith that should encourage all of us, and it is a model for us this morning and always to walk and live that kind of faith. The elders in chapter 11 that the Bible is talking about, they left a legacy of faith that we can look to for encouragement and confidence. And we're going to read about those and many in the following verses. Look at verse 3 now. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This has two parts to it. Let's look at the first part. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So to help us understand what he means in the first part of this verse, the writer gives us an illustration. By faith we understand. That is, by faith we are convinced that God created the universe. It didn't make itself. There was an intelligent designer. Creation provides evidence for the unseen God. But it takes faith to believe and accept what our eyes can't see. It takes faith to look at creation and believe that there is a creator. Jesus gives us a similar example in John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind, but we can see evidence of it. And therefore, by faith, we know that wind exists. It's not a blind faith either. It's logical. Something is causing it. And we also see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. Though he is invisible, but we see him and his works by faith. Thus we are convinced of his existence and that what the Bible says about him is true. Back to the second part of verse 3. Have I lost anybody this morning? With me? All right. Things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This is where faith really comes into play. This is the point he's driving home here. We do not know exactly how God did it when he created the universe. We don't know how he did it. None of us were there. Larry McDowell might have been there, but none of the rest of us. I guess as he's not here, I can't pick on him. All right. You know, Bonnie, I just want to brag on them for a little bit. Bonnie Jo just had her 90th birthday, y'all, last week, 90th. Still marching and serving God with everything she's got. And Larry's up there, too. I think, is he older or the same age? I can't remember. He's a little older. He married a younger woman. He's still leading Bible studies. Man, he's doing it. These are the people we need to emulate and go, man, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that guy. So where am I here? So this is where faith really comes into play. So we don't know exactly how God did it when he created the universe. Out of nothing, but here's the point. Out of nothing, he spoke and it came into being. Out of nothing. Out of the thin air, with no elements. There's an old funny story about a guy who challenges God to create something. And many of you have probably heard it, and I'm probably going to butcher it. But God says, okay, I accept the challenge. And the guy gets ready to make something, make a human being, and he reaches down to grab the dirt. And God goes, oh, no. The dirt is mine. The dirt is mine. You got to create your own being out of nothing like I did. So God created, out of nothing, he spoke, and the universe came to being. He speaks and it happens. That is the point that we're to understand. Likewise, it may seem impossible that God can fix a particular situation that you are going through right now. That would be an example, if that's how you think that it's impossible for God, that would be an example of hopelessness. That's how the world looks at things. However, we always have hope. And I say we, followers of Jesus Christ, the born-again believers, we always have a hope because we have God. We might think that because he doesn't have all the pieces, the people, the mechanisms to work with, that he can't fix the problem, but we'd be wrong. Our thinking needs to be this. If his word says that he loves me, that he never will forsake me, that he is working all things out for my good, then I'm going to trust him that he can and will handle any problem that I face according to his good character and do so with my best interest in mind. Amen, indeed. Even though his response may not be the result that I imagined or I wanted, I know that it will be right. The word says that God loves me in John 3:16. And God can't lie, it says in Numbers 23:19. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Thus he watches over his word to perform it, it says in Jeremiah 1:12. We can count on him to do this because faithfulness is one of his names, we are told in Revelation 19:11. So to conclude this morning, I guess the $25 question is, how do we increase our faith? Well, the first way that we do it is by hearing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Specifically, the gospel message, but it includes all of Scripture. That's why I like to teach from Scripture, teach verse by verse. It's not just so that we have a better understanding of Scripture, but it's because I know that as we are studying Scripture and as you're hearing Scripture preach, that our faith is growing. I understand this concept. So occasionally we have topical messages, and they're seasonal, but most in part we speak verse by verse, we teach verse by verse, so that our faith grows. What does it mean to hear as it applies to the word? This means staying put in God's word and letting it speak to your inner man or woman. To meditate on it. Thinking about it. Setting under sound teaching that comes from the word of God, as I just explained. The Bible word for meditate is kind of what cows do. If you've ever seen cows, it's kind of gross. I think we've talked about it before. They chew their food. They spit it out, they chew it again, blah, chew it again. Sounds delicious, actually. Blah, duh, blah, all right? They do it about four times. That's the same word that we have for meditating. It's taking the word of God and thinking about it over and over again. Don't need to think about the whole Bible. Just one little verse. Commit it to your heart, commit it to memory so that you can speak it out loud. And just begin thinking about it. The word of God will transform a mind and transform a heart. The second thing we need to do is we need to shut out unbelief. You ever see a teeter-totter or teeter-totter? Do they still have those? Somebody told me they outlawed them. They still have them? Do you have to wear a helmet to wear them now or something like that? To the times we live in. Times we live in. You gotta wear a helmet on a teeter-totter. I'm not. It's kind of like that. Unbelief and faith is like this, okay? When unbelief starts getting heavier, our faith starts getting lighter. And when it goes, our faith starts getting heavier, unbelief starts getting lighter. Unbelief pulls in the opposite direction of faith. Jesus told the disciples that they could not heal the boy with epilepsy because of their unbelief. Their unbelief stemmed likely from the horrific sight of the kid with seizures. Has anyone ever seen somebody just fall out with like massive seizure? We got the foaming of the mouth. Maybe they bit their tongue and there's blood. And like, man, it's scary. If you've ever seen that. And I believe that this kid's epilepsy was so bad, his dad said it would throw him in the fire. I think the disciples went to cast out the demon, and all of a sudden he went into a massive epilepsy fit. Probably started foaming and blood spitting everywhere, maybe even stumbled through the fire, and they're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't fix this. I believe unbelief crept in just a moment, and they lost their faith. That's why Jesus, when he came on the scene, Jesus spoke a word and the demon left. And then he chastised them for their unbelief. Their unbelief. So evidently the scene of this boy convulsing was so frightening that they lost their faith. So unbelief is the substance of the world's ideology. The world system of belief is antichrist and the exalting of the human will and flesh. When we spend too much time saturating our minds with the world and the things of the world, it can create unbelief which impairs our faith. Shut up the faucet of the world. Turn it off. began doing these things that increase our faith, and we'll see that teeter-totter going back, waiting on the side of faith. And the third thing, we'll conclude here today. The third way that we increase our faith, we need to be engaged with a supportive community of those that exercise faith. Of course, I'm talking about fellowship in a local church or with others that also are practicing their faith. You got to be in a church that's practicing their faith that believes these things. You got to be fellowshipping with friends that believe that faith can move mountains and that are practicing these things. Because as I mentioned at the front of this message, faith grows with practice. Faith grows. The Bible compares it to a mustard seed that grows in one of the tallest and strongest trees that there are. That's faith. And when you hang around birds of a feather, what do? They flock together. Man, you hang around people that are walking by faith, that are believing by faith in God and His Word and His character. They're living by faith. Your faith will begin to grow too. It matters so much who you have in your life and who the influences are in your life. And by the way, if you don't have a lot of those, I want to encourage you to grab some books of those who have demonstrated incredible faith, whether in their ministries or their walk. Faith, incredible, rising from the dead, limbs growing, eyes seeing, ears hearing. Begin reading those books and get it into your spirit, into your soulish area where your mind and your will and emotions work and where they work together with your spirit and your body in wholeness. It's out there. We just got to say, I want my faith increased, and then walk out those doors and do something about it. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living, powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, that it goes down to our very bones, Lord, that it divides. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a discerner of our thoughts and our hearts. We thank you that your character is good. We thank you that your thoughts for us is good. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. And we thank you that if you say it, we can bank on it that we believe it because it's true. Father, our faith in this room today is all over the map in different areas. There is some great faith and there is some weak faith. God, I pray that you would bring up the weak faith. I pray that you'd bring it up. Lord, I pray that we begin to see evidence of believing faith in this congregation, in this church, and in our city, and in our town, and in our lives. And I pray that it would pour into the workplace, into the schools. Lord, increase our faith. Increase it. Holy Spirit, come. Father, as we begin to grasp on what it means to be in relationship with you, to be loved by you, to receive that love in our life, to love others and to love ourselves as we love others, Father, to love ourselves, God, and to love others as we love ourselves. Father, we ask that you would do these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a cool day. We have a little respite. It's supposed to get a little rain later tonight. And have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.